Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message. So we've been, this is the fourth week of Guy Code. It'll probably end next week. Next weekend is Father's Day. So here's a piece of non-biblical but very important information. Spend as much money on your dad as you did on your mom. Don't cheap. Yeah, come on. Every dad should have been like feeling the Holy Spirit or something on that. Because here's the thing. Your dad has sown so much into you. Your dad may not be perfect. You may have a horrible dad, but you got a dad. Somewhere, somebody will trade no dad for your horrible one. Give the man honor. And if there's somebody, say you don't have a dad, but God has sent somebody into your life that's a pseudo dad, you need to give him real honor because he deserves it. Because here's the thing, anybody can make a baby, but to parent, father, and lead a child is a God-given gift. And it needs to be celebrated. So, yeah. So next week we're going to wrap up Guy Code, and you celebrate your dad and men in general that have meant something in your life. I know that I've got a list of people that I'm going to call. Man, I'm honored to have a great dad in my life, and I will celebrate him. But there's some other men that just threw tokens in along the way, and I make it a point not only to honor my father, but to honor the men who've spoken so passionately and deeply into my life, because they all matter. Now, they matter on different levels. I wouldn't trade those men for my biological pie. I mean, you only get one of those. And if he's bad, you just trade him in. No, I'm just kidding. I'm playing. I would never do that. Man, honor those men in your life. It's important. So we've been in a series called Guy Code, and I'm gonna try to speed up just a little bit. But we've been in a Guy Code series because I believe that God is really wanting to make warriors and men who know what they're going to do. Now, if I'm a woman, I go, well, should I check out in this series? Absolutely not. Because one of two things, either you're already married, you want to be married, or one day you're going to get married whether you want to or not. It's just a natural flow. I never wanted to get married. And my wife kidnapped me. I met my wife, and my attitude on that changed. I went with Paul. I said, it's better to be single than married. I'm like, I can do ministry easier on my own. What did I know? God in the garden said, Adam, you need a helpmate. Well, if Adam couldn't do it on his own in a garden that was made perfect, I sure couldn't do it in this world of imperfection. So God sent me somebody who I could partner with and yoke with, and we could pull to the same direction. I thank God for that. So my thing is if you're a woman here, you know, if you're going to have a man in your life, shouldn't you know how to prop up and partner with a real man? There are a bunch of fake men running around. And the first thing that comes to your mind is a sissy, right? Like somebody who, but that's not even what I'm talking about. There are men that are puffed up on masculinity that don't know what it means to be a man. It doesn't have to do with testosterone. It has to do with passion and pursuit. So in Joel chapter 3, 9 through 10, was kind of our context scripture. It says this, proclaim this among the nations, consecrate for war. Because here's the bottom line, we're at war already. And honestly, I'm not even at war all the time with the devil. Half the time I'm at war with myself. My own fears, doubts, insecurities, ego. Ego has led more men to their death spiritually, physically, relationally, financially, than the devil ever had anything to do with. But that's free. It says this, it says, so get ready for a war, but really we already knew that we were at war. That's the thing that keeps men tossing and turning in bed at night. That's the thing that causes us to chew our fingernails and make our stomachs hurt. We know we're already at war. We're just not sure who to fight. It says, stir up the mighty men, but half the time I don't feel like a mighty man. I just feel like half a man. Let the men of war draw near and let them come up. And I believe this. I believe that this series can be a come up for a lot of men. This can be the thing that really changes how you view, how you live, and how you process the world around you into what you're really meant to be. This is your come up moment. Verse 10. It says, beat your plowshares into swords. We know that by looking at the Old Testament, plowshares were what you did to impact the world around you. We believe this, that you should take the broken system that you've been using to live your life and that you should pound it into something that looks more like a sword. Because if you broke into my house and I said, ha ha, Yeah, that would be my reaction. You're probably going to laugh. You'll be like, I'm going to take that. But if you show up and I pull this, yeah, I'm going to take that thing away from you and spank you with it. But if you yank a door open and somebody takes a 3-foot sword and goes, aha, you're going to be like, aha. So there's something about using the things in your life and getting them straight. When it says to beat your plowshare, it means to take something that's bent metal and move it into something straight so that it can be used for an implement of war. I think that in a lot of men's life, we've got these crooked parts that need to be bent into straight. They've got to be beat to where they're straight. He said, and let the weak, he said, and your hooks into spears. He said, let the weak say, I'm a warrior. Yeah, I got people here first service, like, I'm a warrior. And they said that because this first service, well, first of all, every man who says I'm a warrior, just say I'm a warrior. Yeah, say it like you got, you know.
I'm a warrior.
Yeah, so there's this whole, thanks. It's that military. I had this lady come up to me after first week we did this, and we had all the men say that. She walked up to me, she nudged me, she said, Pastor, when all those men did that, it did a little something for me. She said, because I was sitting beside my husband. He's like, I'm a warrior. She said, it was bassy, and it was deep, and it was, she said, can we do that more often? Because I'm like, look, I'm glad I could help you out. You know what I'm talking about? Like, give me a high five here. And because here's what I believe. I believe that women really are looking, especially in this culture, for men to have real leadership. And the problem is that sometimes we confuse masculinity with toxicity. Because you can be masculine and not know how to lead, and it becomes toxic. But if you're a real man, you know when to lead and you know when to be quiet. You know when to cry and you know when to fight. Being a real man is knowing what to do in the season. Man, when it's snowing, don't go out and plow your ground. Know the season you're in and be a man that can beat his own will and his own desire into being what God called you to be. And he says this, bring that last up, please. He said this. He said, man, he said, I want the weak to say that I'm a warrior. In this series, man, we're trying to get men who may not see themselves as strong to realize that they're actually strong. Because there's nothing worse than knowing that somebody has the potential to be something, but never the pursuit to become it. Man, I believe that there's so much inside of some of you that if you would just wrap your mind around the fact that God created you to be a warrior, that God and created you to do something bigger than what you thought you could do and have more of a role inside your family and inside of culture and inside of the world around us, that if we could finally wrap our mind around that, the bar may be so far above our head we think we can never get there, but if we pursue it, eventually we'll get there. Week two, we said this. The title was, Do You Even Lift, Bro? Do you even lift? And what we said was this, is that sometimes little things shock people. Because see, if you're not working out, if you're not ready, you're weak. Like if you wait till you have the problem to start lifting, you know what's happening? So it's beach season, right? Because we can prove that. So here's the thing. You didn't think about your diet all through COVID. Myself included. And then one day, it dawns on you that you've booked, because the world's open now. Open for business. Which means the beach is open. Or the lake, or wherever you go. Which means you're going to think at some point this summer about putting on a bathing suit. And then you stood in front of the mirror, and you had the moment. You ever notice this? Now, some men embrace the dad bod. You notice that that's a thing that men came up with because we run a guy code. I'm in shape. Round is a shape. You don't see that same ideology in women. You don't see like on a hey, let's have a mom bod. Any women ever say that your body's not what it was before you had a child? Because the biological process of giving birth changes some things. But we don't celebrate that because the code is different. So if we say, man, you know what? If we can really look at some of this coding, we can figure out how we're wired. So, man, do you lift? Mark 3:27 is a great passage that Jesus taught. It said, but no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. And indeed, he may plunder his house. But it took me to a question. What if he's not strong?
And so what we did was we brought JC up here, and he's a pretty fit dude, and he starts curling like the 5 and the 10. He did the 5 he put on his pinky and is like pounding them out. He's like, this is not a big deal. And then so we brought May up, and she struggled. And then finally we gave her 25, and she's like about to, you know, top over or pop a blood vessel. And what we said is this, is that if you can't handle the little stuff, when the big stuff comes, you'll never be able to handle it. So as men, we have to spiritually, emotionally, financially, in every tense of the word, we have to be ready for those big moments. But if we don't even lift, how can we, our house can be taken over so easily, it's not funny. And then we went into the third week, And we talked about this. Will you come up again? Do you mind? So we talked about this, that Proverbs 18:20-22 says this. It says, "For the fruit of a man's mouth is his stomach is for the fruit of a man's mouth his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips." Verse 21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. For he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." You ever wonder why these things are all put in the same context? Because the power of your mouth to speak into the life of your family is huge. If you're married, the easiest person to take your frustration out on is your wife and your kids. They can be totally innocent. They may not have anything to do with anything. Will you turn your back to me just for a second? So here's the thing. If I have the power to speak life and death, that means that when I come home, I could take this dart and just throw it right into her back. Now, first service, she didn't know that this whole analogy was coming. And when I said that, she went, "Hello, Pastor. I signed up for church, but not to be hitting between the shoulder blades with a dart." So we temporarily suspended the dart, and we went with a foam ball and just said, if this was a dart. That men have the ability to lead in two ways. We can either lead with the dart or with the candy. I made it a ring pop just because women like jewelry and candy. It's a deadly combination. And so what I said was this, if you'll turn around. If I come home and I just throw stuff at her, her natural reaction is going to be to move away from me. Matter of fact, the first week we did this, Macy was here, and I started throwing balls at her. I had like 20 of them, and I just started pummeling her with balls. And finally, I hit her with about the 10th one, and she picked one up because we didn't tell her about it. And she came up and just slung one at me. And what happens is this, is when you come home and you throw darts long enough, eventually your spouse is going to throw darts back. And the next thing you know, it's just a fight. And then you end up in my office for marital counseling. Because you're busy throwing darts at each other, and neither one of you are willing to stop because you're both bruised, so you just want to hurt the person for the bruise they caused. Then you cause a bruise, which makes them want, and now you're in this horrible cyclical thing, and the same can be true of your kids. So then what I did was I looked at Larissa, and I said, "Here, have one." And when she went to take it, I smacked her with a ball. Because sometimes, as men, we send mixed messages. Get my ball back. You ready? One more time. See, you're not sure what you're going to get, are you? Because here's the thing. When men aren't consistent with how they lead. Now, let me ask you a question. Which one of these do you want to follow? See, because what women really look for is words of affirmation and leadership. Now, if I put the ball up, and I had, because first service I did, the first time we did these, I had like 20 of these. And I said, "Will you follow me?" And then I had another one. I said, and what happened, Macy was about the ring pops. And she just kept packing them in. And she's like, "I'll follow you wherever you want to go. As long as you got ring pops, I'm with you." And here's the realization is that women don't mind being led, but they want to be led because you love them and you have something to offer them, not because you try to dart them into submission. Your children want to follow because you're leading them somewhere that's sweet, not because you're trying to pummel them to death. You can be seated. So that's kind of your catch up to this week. So where do you go beyond that? We go to 1 Kings 19:19-21. And we're going to go on a trip with Elijah. Now here's the thing. If you're new to the faith and you can't tell the difference between Elijah or Elisha, you mix them up. Always remember this. Elijah comes before Elisha. J comes before S. Now here's what I'm going to tell you. If you teach at all, whether you're telling a friend, a family member, anything else about Elijah and Elisha, you inevitably are going to mix them up. And when it comes to the miracles that they do, you're going to lie on one of them. You're going to give one of them a miracle they didn't do, and you're going to take a miracle away, right? So what happens is this, is in verse 19 of 1 Kings 19, I'll be reading from the NIV. It's not my favorite translation, but I really like the way that it did one word, so I went with this version. So here we go. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing a field with 12 oxen yoking, and he was himself was driving the 12th pair. Elisha went up to him and threw his cloak around him. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Can you imagine walking up to a drive-thru? Can you imagine going up to Chick-fil-A and like taking off your shirt and just wrapping it around somebody? Or make it one worse. Can you imagine being in church and just popping your shoe off, pulling your sock off, and landing on somebody's shoulder and going? But in this culture, it wasn't exactly abnormal. And what it really meant was that he was laying his mantle, his anointing, his heritage from this prophet was going to be passed down to the next guy. So Elisha's there, and he's plowing the field, and he's hot, and he's sweaty, and he's not expecting. Have you ever noticed that God shows up when you don't expect him to? Oftentimes, God shows up where you don't want him to. Because all Elisha wanted to do was plow the, I mean, he's in the Middle East. He's like, plow the blessed field and let's go home. That's all I want to do. It's just, you know, let's get it done. And the fact that he had a bunch of oxen means that he had a big field. And it may not have been the best field. It may have been the best field. We don't know. But it was a lot of work. There were a lot of people counting on him. There were a lot of people that needed him to be productive because their lives depended on his productivity. Verse 20, and Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. He said, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye. Have you ever noticed that whenever you get a call of God on your life, there are things you've got to say goodbye to? That there are people you have to say goodbye to. Now, it may not be, now does this mean that this man's never going to go back and see his father or mother? Not necessarily. Some things you have to let go for a season. Some things you just got to let go of. Elisha looks and he says, look, let me go kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I'll come with you. Sometimes you've got to give grace for people to say goodbye to one season to accept another. Like this, if you've been a jerk of a husband for 20 years, or four, or one, and all of a sudden you come home and go, hey, honey, I'm running guy code now. She's going to have to say goodbye to the old new and be introduced to the new you. Just because you changed doesn't mean she sees the change yet. He said, man, can I go back and say goodbye to this old season of my life before I say hello to the new one? I love this. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? I had somebody come up after first service and say, man, can you explain that? Because that sounds weird. Like, you just gave this guy an anointing. He's like, what have I done to you? Man, he didn't poison him, right? Like, that's not what he's saying. I think what the prophet's really saying here is when he looked at him, he said, you know what? Do you understand what I've done to you? In your saying goodbye, count the cost. Understand the gravity of what I'm asking you to do. Because you're going to have to, when you say goodbye, you may never see him again. Following God has a cost. There are times when people come to me for counsel, and I know what the Lord's going to have them do, but I also know the price they're going to have to pay to have it. And I can't say that I've never not asked myself the same question. God, do you know what these people are getting ready to go through? Man, to have a marriage, and a godly marriage means you're going to have to forgive something that you don't want to forgive. Man, what am I asking you to do? How can I even ask you to do that knowing how painful that's going to be? How? I think that's the question that the prophet's asking. He's like, man, understand the gravity. When you go back and tell goodbye, weigh the cost. Because kind of like Jesus said, look, you know, Peter, before you started following me, you had a house and a business. But if you follow me, you're basically going to live homeless for 3.5 years. Then you're going to watch me be executed. But come follow me and I'll make you something. What am I asking you to do? You ever looked at your kids and you thought, man, what have I done to you? Like when they had that super amazing moment and they do something like ridiculously like I never will forget my son when he was in elementary school. He went to this camp and he got camper the year because there was this kid that didn't have much money, and he over and over and over again gave his lunch to a kid that didn't have it, and he just went hungry. And when they told the story, I'm sitting there, my wife and I are like, what do we do to this gift? How did he get this amazing from us? And really from us, I'm saying about 90% her, and I'm lowballing. You know what I'm talking about? Like, this has got to be more you than me, right? Because then there are moments when your kid or your wife may do something and it disappoints you so much, and you're like, what did I do? What did I do to you to cause you to think this way? What was I thinking asking you to be a man of integrity when that integrity cost you something? Cost you a job, it cost you friends, it cost you to get ragged on social media, it cost you what? But if you're really going to be a man, if you're going to understand guy code, you have to understand that when you begin to sow into people, you're going to have questions along the way. But if you're committed to be the husband and the father and the leader that you're supposed to be, you're going to have to leave some stuff behind and you're going to have to pursue some other things. So Elisha, verse 21, Elisha left him and went back. And he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. That's harsh. You ever notice something, though, that Jesus calls Peter to leave? He says, Peter, leave your boat and leave your life and come follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. But what Peter did, and Peter did that, right? Peter went and followed Jesus. But what he did was he left the boat to his father-in-law to run their business. He kept a plan B in case this Jesus thing didn't quite work out. So when the Jesus thing went crazy right after the crucifixion, Peter leaves, and when we find him again, where's he at? He's back on the boat. He went back to his plan B. If you're really going to be a man of God, you've got to slaughter the oxes. You've got to burn the plow. Scripture says this. He said, he slaughtered the oxen and he burned the plow. What he did was he said this. He said, I'm so committed to being this man or woman that you've called me to be that I'm willing to burn the plow. I'm not going back. I'm not going to do this thing another way. I'm totally committed. I'm not giving myself a plan B. Because here's the thing. If plan B was any good, it would have been plan A. If there's something better than God, go after it. Do it that way. But if you look and go, you know what? My marriage is not what I want my marriage to be. And my kids are not what I want my kids to be. And my life is not necessarily what I want it to be. Then what you've got to do is you've got to run a different program. Anybody here have older parents? You ever seen your older parents on, like, I don't know, a flip phone? Mom, just text me. Okay, A, at one, you know. Why didn't you text me, Mom? Why'd you call me? Because it just takes too long. Because you got to go through three. Remember the old where you had to press like 1-3 times to get a letter or 5? And what you do is you look at those people and you're like, look, the problem is not texting. The problem is you're on an old broke down phone from 1926. They didn't have cell phones, but right, you're trying to text off a bag phone. You ever wonder if God sits up there and goes, you know what, the reason you're struggling in your marriage and you're struggling with your kids and you're struggling in your finances, you're running an old system, but you're trying to do new things. What you need to do is burn your plan B and commit to plan A. You ever wonder what would have happened to Peter if he'd have burned the boat? When it all fell apart, what would he have done? If he didn't have the fishing thing to go back to, would he have gone to the temple? Would he have seen a rent veil? What happens if you this morning decide this, that you're going to burn the plow? I'm going to become this man. You know what? Every night I'm going to pray over my family or every morning. Or you know what? If I've got to call people, go, you know what? Time's a big issue. Well, you've got a phone. You pay $4 million for everybody in your house to have a phone. All the dads said, amen. You paying for everybody and their brother in your house to have a phone. Call them and pray over them. Well, they didn't answer my call. Text it to them. They'll read it out of curiosity. start at something like this. I'm sending you something really valuable. They won't figure it out till halfway through your prayer, and then they're just going to keep reading it because of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know how to read a devotional. Can I just say this? I don't know how to lead a devotional is something that I get for a lot of dads. First of all, you do not have to grab a guitar and sing four worship songs, bring all the kids and your wife into the living room, and then tell that one that if he don't sit down and be quiet that you're going to spank him. Can everybody shut up? We're going to do God now. Shut, sit. If I got to tell you one more time. Now, be open to hear what the Lord has to say. Y'all have done this, I can tell. Y'all try. But what if it looked like this? Now, it's a little age variant, right? It's a little age dependent. But what if you looked at your kids and said, you know what, I was reading today, and it said this, that if we deny Jesus before our other men, if we deny Jesus before mankind, that he'll deny us before the Father. And at first, I thought I had that down. And then I figured out that there are times that I really feel like I should talk about Jesus, but I don't because of my job, or I don't because of the situation, or because of social acceptance, or because of, right? And I figured out that I'm doing exactly what God said not to do. So let me ask you this. While you're in school, how do you struggle with that? You got this little part-time job. How do you deal with it? And in doing so, what you've done is you've taken a piece of candy and you've laid it there and you've asked your child to follow you. I'm only one step ahead of you, baby. I just found the scripture. I'm trying to work it out. Follow me. By opening up your insecurities, you give other people the freedom for them to have insecurities. For you to admit your failures means that you've given your family permission to fail, not encouragement to fail. I have people all the time go, Pastor, I need to talk to you, but I'm not sure how to do it. I've been struggling. No. Yeah, but Pastor, you've never heard anything like this. Trust me, I have. And probably what you went through is really, in my week of talking to people, is probably not even that impressive. To you, it's a big deal. And I'm not downplaying that. I'm just saying that no sin is unique to mankind. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm struggling with what I look at on the computer. Yeah, you're not the only one. Yeah, but I'm struggling with my mouth. Yeah, you're not the only one. Pastor, I thought about cutting a fool. Ask Peter, you're not the only one. Because we're all men in the same fight. But when we burn the oxen, when we burn the plow and we slaughter the ox, what we do is we say, you know what, God, I'm committed to doing the repetitious work of leading my family. Some days I'm going to get it right. Other days I'm going to be an utter failure at it. The days I fail, I'm going to get back up the next day because God's mercies are new every day. Ours are not. Man, I'm harder on myself than the devil is. God, you can't use me. Look, I did not do a devotional. I forgot to pray over my family yesterday. I got busy. Now I'm worthless, and these people just need a different dad and a husband, and they need the dude down the street, but I'll shoot him if he comes to my house. Anybody ever played that whole conversation out in your head? You know what you need? You just need a different wife. You need somebody prettier. You need somebody smarter, skinnier. But if she shows up, I will claw her eyes out in Jesus' name. That's not really what you need. What you need to do is figure out that you're in a battle. You're in a fight. And you need to sell out to your plan Bs. I'm going to finish reading this. So they burnt the plow equipment, cooked the meat, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out, and he followed Elijah and became his servant. See, what happens is this, is you can't be the servant till you sell out your options. You can't really be a Christ follower till there's not a plan B from following Christ. Like that old life, I'm not going back to it. I may not always win in this life, but I'm not going back to that one. Like, I told all those friends goodbye, and I'm never going to see them again. Now I don't have any friends. Because sometimes when you get rid of all your bad friends, you're alone. And as tempting as it is to go back, you can't. So here's what happened. What happens if you as a husband, you as a man, you as a woman? What happens if you sell out to really becoming the man of God that you're supposed to be? You know, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to pray over my family. I'm supposed to look at how I talk to my family. I'm supposed to lead my family in devotionals. What if I just sell out to, until I figure it out, I'm going to keep tracking on it. You know what? I'm gonna fight myself. I'm going to discipline myself to go to the gym of spirituality. I'm going to lift the prayers every day. I'm going to read the Bible every day. And when I find something, because here's the thing, what we want to do is this, is we want to get a new devotional every day. God, say something new to me. Why would God say something new to you if you hadn't done what he asked you to do the first time? Like this, like if you're listening to this message, you're like, man, that dart and ball and ring thing just kind of messes me up because I don't talk to people always right. Well, listen to it over and over and over again until you can do it without thinking about it. You ain't got to move on. Just because I preach it for 1 week does not mean you have to go do it again. I really, 1 week, want to come in and preach that over and over and over again until people figure out that every blessed thing that comes out of their mouth to anybody or even to themselves matters. It has the power to speak life and death. We've killed more things in our life with the way we talk to ourselves than the devil does. We've killed more relationships than we ever should have. So we didn't watch what came and how it came out of our mouth. I'm as guilty of this, if not more so, than anybody in this room. Man, I'm working on it. And I'm banging this old way of thinking into something that God can really use. So as we come to close, man, I just want to challenge the men in this room to burn your option B. Burn your, you know what, I'm a good Christian until I get mad. Well, guess what? You need to burn that ship. Man, I'm a great dad in all these areas except time. Well, you know what? You need to burn that ship. Some men just need to earn a little bit less money and be more of a dad and a husband. Some of y'all need to go to work. You can swing the pendulum too far one way or the other. I need to go to the gym more. But I've got friends who are so in the gym, they're not at home being a dad. What if we just said this? What if we said, God, I'm going to be what you really called me to be. Not what you've called everybody else to be. I'm just going to work on being what you want me to. I'm burning my plan B. I'm burning my plow. I'm not going back to that life. I may not have this life figured out, but I'm not going back. That's you today. Will you just bow your head just for a second? I just want to pray over you. Because that fight and that struggle is real. Father, for every man who's here that is in the same fight that I'm in. God, who struggles with their self-confidence and their worthiness to be a man or a woman of God. Father, for every person here who's held on to plan B because they're scared that they can't live up to plan A. God, will you encourage them? Will you give them the strength to burn that plow? God, if there's one person that's in this room or that's watching online or that's listening to this on podcast, God, that may never have taken the opportunity to give their life to you, God, that maybe never knew to give their life to you. If that's you today, will you just slip your hand up? We just want to pray for you and give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Man, whether you're watching online or you're here in-house, if you lifted your hand or you wish you would have lifted your hand or you just know that there's something inside of you that's asking for a relationship with Jesus, will you just pray this prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins and make me right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, that's the biggest decision you can make as a person. And I believe the second biggest decision you can make is to become a warrior. To take on a warrior code, to take on a guy code where you're willing to lead your family well. You're willing to lead yourself well. Man, we want to thank our online community for joining us. Man, our Thrive Tribe, you mean the world to us. We just pray you have an amazing week. We can't wait to see you back here next week. To those that are in-house, man, I just want you to know, man, we love you guys. We believe that that the men that are in this room, that God has such a call, women too, but right now I just want to speak to men, that the men that are in this room, man, God's calling you up to another level. And this is your season to come up. Because somewhere, whether you're married or not married, there's a woman and a set of kids that need a strong man. And they need a man that knows how to lead with a sucker and not with a dart. And somewhere there's a woman whose faith can grow in the Lord if you'll lead it there. You receive this today. Man, the weight of being a man is, it's heavy. We're going to wrap this series up, Lord willing, next week. After that, we're going into women.
Yeah, heck yeah. One of my favorite subjects.
Then after that, we're going to talk about how the two of those things work together. We call it marriage. You know, every little girl dreams about getting married, but never about being married. Pee on the seat. Does the toilet seat go up or down? Dirty socks. What's the way down? Because you sit on it. Who made that? Really, if you want to know the truth, we should just drop the lid on it. And then we're all confused in the middle of the night. It's splash up season. But you see how quick you answered? Was it you that answered? You see who answered it? Wendy. Oh, yeah, well, you know. Who wrote that the seat? I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's been an argument of ours for years. I'm like, look, leave the seat up. Why? Because I peed last. I have to remember to put it up when you're there. That's how argument. Put the seat up. See, she's already reaching for it. We've been married 25 years. I knew it was coming back. That's how a fight starts. But what if, I don't have the sucker. What if I said, hey, how can we reach? That's real leadership. When I have leaders that come to me and they're all wound up, I have to unwind them before I can deal with the problem. Sometimes when I go to my leader and I'm wound up, they have to unwind me before we can address the problem. And God help if the leader's wound up on it and I'm wound up on it. Because whoever we go to throw balls at. See, that's the stuff we've got to learn how to unwind. Because you can know how to be a warrior man and you can know how to be a Proverbs 31 woman. But if you don't know how the two of those go in the same jar, or what happens when they're in the same jar and they peacefully coexist, and then you shake the jar up with a problem, those two things will start bouncing off of each other, not complementing each other. So we're going to take a look at all that. Man, I'm excited about this. I know it's a little bit long, but it's worth it because I'm building you. This doesn't translate. I have people go, man, I can't wait till you get back to the exciting stuff. And I'm like, man, I can't wait till you get the 101 stuff you're supposed to be doing. Because Jesus is coming back. And if you're not doing your 101 stuff, it's liable to be toot toot and tears. I'm looking for toot toot and scoot. You know what I'm talking about? Like I ain't staying in this junk a minute longer than I have to. You receive this today? But man, if we're not doing what we're supposed to as men, we're the high priest of our house. We lead it. What kind of pastor do you want to be? I'm going to let you go. I could preach this again. Passionate about it. Man, we love y'all. Let me pray over you. Father, right now we just thank you for the day. God, I think I've said what you'd have me to say. I believe I've done what you've had me to do. God, I ask that you just bless every hearer of this word, God. Let it multiply in their hearts, God. Let us become the men and the women that you've called us to be. God, let us have marriages that people want. God, let us be people of integrity that other people want to follow. God, let us be people that our kids actually like, that our kids can look up to. God, and in those seasons where we struggle with family, God, give us wisdom. You said that if anybody lacks wisdom, let them ask. God, I need it. We need it. We're asking. Father, let us praise you in every storm and every trial. God, in every triumph, let us recognize your hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just say something? Because I said something in that prayer I want to address. Sometimes people aren't going to like you because you do the right thing. Can I get a witness from someone? You take a stand and people ain't always going to like you for it. If you call evil evil, evil people don't want to hear it. Don't always judge your call by the echo that comes back to it. Jesus was pretty solid, but people called him Beelzebub. But when Jesus led, he led with love. Let love lead you. You receive that today. God bless you. We'll see you next week on Father's Day, Lord willing. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you, and we can't wait to see you again next time.